Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Zion. And we're up to the Halakha Mishnah, we've already done first part of the daf till the Mishnah. What happens? We've been talking about the question of where we have to be chayshish that a woman was raped. We had three cases so far that we've been mechalik in. One is kidnapping. The other one is imprisonment. And the third one was what is called hurana, where a woman was the actual collateral for a loan. Now we have a fourth case in which we have the same chashash. And this was a city that was actually defeated by a karkom. A karkom is a siege. It's the Targum, as Rashi points out, of the very words that the Torah uses when you go to bring you're going to bring down another city in Milchama. So it says Karkom. And so once the soldiers get in to an enemy city, obviously they do whatever the heck they want to do. But im yesh lahem edim, any women that have witnesses that they were not raped, so then it doesn't matter. As we said, we will accept even an eved, even a shivcha, Hare elo ne'amadim, even though we say the word edim, as we saw before, they do not need edim. It's enough to have an ed echad. We talked about that. That applies here too. Afilo eved, afilo shivcha, hare elo ne'amadim, and she is muteret leba'ala. Ve'ein ne'aman adama yedei atzmo, but a person is not believed to say on themselves. So if a woman says, yes, I was in the city, but I wasn't troubled by them at all. Ask the Gemara, the problem is that there is a mission in Avodah Zarah that says very much otherwise. V'ramini, Baleshet sheba'alair. So a Baleshet is called a Baleshet because they are out for plunder. And the word Balash means to go looking through everything. It's called a detective, a Balash today in modern Hebrew, because he looks to uncover whatever he can uncover. So a Baleshet sheba'alair. So if they were b'sha'at shalom, so meaning that there is no, look, soldiers sometimes go and they do what they want because they say, you know, we're supposed to be bivouac in your city and you guys are not providing us anything, so we'll take what we want. Those kind of things, unfortunately, were very common even quite recently. So over there, if it's b'sha'at shalom, so that they're not worried about any kind of people that are going to hurt them or anything. So then the idea over there is that if there were barrels of wine that are left open, so then they're all usher, because we're afraid that these goyim actually made the wine yayin nesach. And, you know, well, since they're in town and having a good time, they owe thanks to good old Yashka, you know, so sweet Yashka, have some wine, you know. So, okay, so there's always time for religion. But if the barrels are stumot, I mean, they wouldn't have closed up the barrels again, would they? So undoubtedly, that wine is safe. But if it was b'sha'at milchama, then they're very worried about being shot. You know, they can't hang around for sweet yashka. So because of that, both are mutter. Even open barrels are mutter, because ain't p'nai l'naseh. So you see, when people are scared of getting shot, you know, they're moving from place to place and they're using their night vision and whatever. They don't have time for Yashka. Amr of Yanai, oh, come on, for Yashka, they don't have time. They certainly have time for sex. I mean, come on, religion is nowhere near as powerful as sex is it? So leave, oh, yesh b'nai, there's always time for a little bit of fun, but l'nas say chen b'nai, it's true, they don't have time for giving sweet Jesus a share, you know, okay. So that I understand. So there's no problem. The wine is okay. The women are not okay. So now there are even, however, times when even the women are okay. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Elazar mishmeidech hiskiyamar, that we could explain the case to be very different. Now let's say that Russia is invading the Ukraine and they are interested in the cities that they are capturing, which have a lot of Russians in them. And they want them anyway to come over to Russia, right? So they're not interested in scaring and in terrorizing the population. On the contrary, they're coming in as conquerors of freeing them from this horrible Jewish Nazi in charge of the country And, you know, everybody should be cheering them on and so on. They're certainly not going to allow their soldiers to go and rape women.
Liberators.
Yes, liberators. So there, says Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, if you're talking about the Karkom, shel otam malchut, if it's the same Malchus that wants to expand now, and they want these people to look at them as liberators and be on their side. So obviously they are not going to allow their soldiers to go nuts. So kan b'karkom shel malchut acheret, if they're invaders, they don't care what happens to the city. So then we do have to be worried. But ask the Gemara, and what? And if it's Russians, you're telling me we can trust the Russian soldiers. Oh, right. Because after all, the government has decided that we don't want to terrorize the population. So Igor is not going to terrorize the population when he comes out dead drunk that night, right? I mean, come off it, man. I mean, Efshar, Delo Arak, Hadminai, one of these guys hasn't managed to sneak into the city and make out with everybody. We're talking about a case where the government has put up guards, and you've got every street has got a troop of soldiers that is keeping watch on it, and you can see from one street to the next. So each group is scared of the other group squealing on them. So because of that, everybody's going to be nervous that they're going to get shot if they're all right. Yeah, come on. I mean, so there's... You see them all fast asleep, snoring around their campfire that night. And then you go, then Igor goes, okay? Igor's got a lot of time on his hand. So there's no problem. They can still go in there. Yevshilo Naimaport, I mean, they got to sleep, don't they? You're telling me all the guards stayed up? Omer Rabbi Levi, we're talking about where they put up electronic fences around each area with alarms. So if you have an electronic fence with an alarm that can actually shoot people, obviously, then it doesn't sleep. Now, in those days, they had excellent electronic fences. What they did was they put barbed wire together with all types of chains along the street, which were attached to doggies and geese. So if somebody would come walking along, the chain would pull, the doggy would bark, the goose would go wild, and it would set up the most god-awful cacophony, which is a marvelous, incredible, which is a marvelous electronic fence. So they surrounded the entire area, it's really funny, with Shushilta and Kalba and Gavza and Havza. So they had these chains that would be waking up the dogs. And then they had these barbs and they had these geese. And oh my God, there was no way to get through that without setting up the most horrific alarm. So that's how they protected these women. That's what it's talking about. On the Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, there's actually a machlokas whether you need to have an electronic fence. So one uses the teretz of kan b'karkom shel otam malchut, kan b'karkom shel malchut acheret. And they don't believe that you need to go into electronic fences. Lo kashvo midi, they're not worried about Igor. Somebody is ready to shoot Igor, and he's too nervous about it. And the other one, we're not sure which one, whether it was the Rabbanu, but one of them was nervous about all of that. And he explained the difference as being in terms of the electronic fence. Umishane, Kagunda Maharile Lamata, Lamata, Shushilta, Vekalba, Vekavza, Vavza. And there's another possibility to answer the difference, because if there is even a Mahboa Achat, so let's say we've got an escape tunnel. And that escape tunnel, the women know about, that they could get into an escape tunnel when the city is being captured by the Russians. So even if they only have one place like that, it will save all of the women who are married to Kohanim from being assumed of having been raped, because it's Matzelet HaKulam, because we're going to assume that they got into the tunnel. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, well, what if there's only room for one person in this? It's not an escape tunnel. It's just a place where you can hide. So what about over there? I mean, do we say that, well, each one could be the one that used the escape hatch? So Kol Chad V'Chada could be the one that used it. Or maybe we don't say that and we still have a chashash. Well, this is exactly the case of Shnei Shvilim, isn't it? Which is the famous case we've had many, many times. We have two paths. One path has a grave that goes across the entire path. If somebody walked along that path, they are definitely going to be coming. And the other one was perfectly okay. Now, somebody walked down one of these paths and he touched Tyrus. And another one walked down the other of these paths. They know that they walked down different paths. So one of them had definitely walked on the Tame path and he touched Tyrus. So both of them touched Tyrus. Rabbi Yehuda says like this, if they come into Besdin separately, they're both tar because it's a suffek tuma brishas harabim. These are public areas. A suffek tuma brishas harabim is tar. But if they would come together, shneim ka'achas, we can't, I mean, the Besdin can't paskin that both of you are tar. That's insane. You can't both be tar. So therefore, they're by presenting their cases together, they make it impossible for us to be matir. Now, l'chora, the case over here in this city, if we're going to be matir, we're matir the city. So how could we do that? We only have room for one person. So one would be tar, one would be tummy. So let's see. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't care. Either way, they're tummy, because the fact is that we cannot be matir both of them. And Rava, some say it was Rabbi Yochanan, says that you don't understand. The case is everybody would be matir if they came together. And of course they're tummy. And everybody would be matir. Don't misunderstand the machlokas with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agrees if they're separate, they're tar. The machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, is lo nechu ala bebali she'ela lava al chaviro. We're not actually paskening to both of them together. One guy shows up, says over the case, and he talks about what would be my din and what would be the other guy's din. But they're not both here in front of us. So there is the machlokas. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, look, that's the same as coming together. We're asking for psak halacha in a case which is innately a contradiction. You can't say they're both tar. Masha Einkein, Rabbi Yehuda, says, no, you can give a psak for one and not for the other. You can say to the guy, listen, right now you're here, you're asking the shayla, you are tar. When your friend comes in, we'll deal with him. We don't have to answer questions that are asked for other people. So we see that, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi, when two people don't come at the same time, but we need to give a psak for two people at the same time, then we cannot say that they're tar. So that would mean in this case, hachanami, if we are being asked, what is the din of the women? So we're going to have to be matir all of the women at the same time based on the fact that there was this one escape cistern, right? So we can't do that because then it should be kivat achat, because generally speaking, even though this is only Alibet Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi and machlokas and Rabbi Yehuda, in which case they ought to be usher, and that's the solution. Says the Gemara, there's no comparison. What the heck is wrong with you? Achi Ashta, the case of Shnei Shvilin is ipso facto one of them is Tamei. There's no way to avoid that conclusion. That's where Rabbi Yossi said it. Over here, you're telling me, well, definitely one of them. We don't know that anybody was raped. The whole thing is a chashash, right? And now we're talking about taking a woman out of that chashash because she was in the hideout cistern. So what does that have to do with Shnei Shvilin, for heaven's sake? So some vanai ketuma. Haka, miye marda itme. What makes you think that anybody was tame? And therefore, there's absolutely no reason for us not to say that they are all Torah. There's no innate contradiction. How could you say they're all Torah? Why not? What's your problem? So we're being sumech on each one of them in a sense that they could have escaped, but we have no reason to say that this wasn't the one. We're talking about a case where we had an invasion of a city, and the question was, do we need to assume that all of the women, because of the suffix, were raped? And if there was a situation where we had an escape hatch, a cistern of some kind, and it couldn't hold everybody, maybe it could only hold one person, are we willing to apply that possibility to everybody? And that we related to the question yesterday of the difference between this case and the case of Shnei Shvilin. With Shnei Shvilin, there was Vaday Tuma, and over here we don't have Vaday Tuma. Now the question that is raised today by Rav Ashi is like this. Boy, Rav Ashi, how about if a woman walks into Beis Din and she says, listen, I didn't hide out. I can tell you straight out, I did not hide out. But nonetheless, I can also tell you, I was not raped. Nobody bothered me. Somehow. Me, I'm Rina. How do we look at this? Do we look at this as like the ultimate Migo, right? I mean, she could have, after all, she could have said, I did hide out. So if she wants to be honest and she wants to say that I didn't, so then we apply the Migo of Mali Leshaker. I mean, what, why in the world would she have lied? Or maybe Lo Amrinan, because normally, remember that amigo provides a better taina, correct? And therefore, we say if a person wanted to lie, why wouldn't they take the better taina? But the question is, can we psychologically say in this case, this is according to Rishonim that learned that this is Dafka referring to the case where there was an escape hatch for one. So if she would have said, I was the one, she knows there's another 50 women. They're going to say the same thing, which is going to lead to all kinds of questions. Or she's contradicted by others. So she figures, what do I need to look like a phony for? I better say that I didn't. And no, I had nothing to do with anybody, but I wasn't bothered. That way, she comes out smelling like a rose, and people will believe her. Why not? Because it sounds like she's very honest. So that's not a very good Migo, maybe, because it's not such an absolutely beautiful taina under these circumstances. Oh, Dilma Lo Amrina, says the Gemara, why is this different than the classic case of the case where the rental car agency, of course, in those days it was Rent-a-Hamar agency, but I think that they're a lot more sophisticated than those pieces of junk metal that they call fancy automobiles. So this was a real situation. This is like a thing that works on its own. It's got a brain. It's amazing. Way ahead of Tesla. A little bit slower, that's all. So anyway, so the Rent-a-Hamar agency has a standard contract that you're not allowed to drive along the Nahar Pekod Road, because the Nahar Pekod Road was always covered with water when there was overflowing from Nahar Pekod. And they've had too many accidents over there where their auto, Hamar, was blown away into the river. So, okay, so this guy signs on that. You got to use the Nairish road. Over there, there's no Maya. Anyway, this guy goes ahead, and of course, he uses the Nahar Pekod road. And somehow or other, his auto, Hamar, just died. I don't know what it was, carburetor, whatever. But it just died. So he comes and he says, well, it's true, I did violate the contract, and I did go on the Nahar Pekod road, but there was absolutely no water there. I mean, this thing died from some kind of carburetor breakdown. They call it a heart or something. Anyway, so fine. In Burcha de Nahar Pekod, Mulo Havimaya. Now, that's this case, right? Because I didn't have to say I went on the Nahar Pekod road. I could have just said, you know, just died. So, Amar Rava, great. So, this is a Mali Leshaker. He could have said that, no, I drove on a normal road, Burcha de Nahar Shazle. And since he was honest about it, so why would he bother lying? Whereas Abaya said to him, we don't say Mali Leshaker when we know better. Because since the whole point, and the Nahar Pekod road is like almost always covered with water. So what's this guy's going to say? Yeah, I went on the Nahar Pekod road, but it was perfectly okay. You tell me when the Nahar Pekod road is absolutely okay, you know? I mean, that's like saying that I drove along, you know, what's that road where they got all the animals crossing over there on the by the coastal road. My kids also bumped into a, you know, in South Africa I'm talking about. Gerish, I'm talking to you. What's that road on the route where there's always animals? Huh?
London route.
I don't remember what, but, and that doesn't sound familiar. But anyway, but that's like saying, you know, yeah, I was driving fine. There was no problem at all. I just happened to have been attacked by a boar at the gas station. Yeah, right. Anyways, so... That doesn't apply in this case because it's connected, so to speak, Adim. Adim meaning that I know that that's so unlikely. Okay, so there you can't say that we believe it. So you see that we don't say the Mali Leshaker. So why would it work over here? She says, I was walking around. It was no problem. Everybody was very nice to me. You know, they gave me cups of coffee. Nobody bothered me. Everything is fine. Okay, so we're talking about the idea of, like we said before, at Rove of the Kochavim Raprutzim Barayas, and therefore we don't really believe that people are going to be on good behavior. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? I mean, Achi Hashta, is that the case of the same thing? I mean, Hasam Vada Ika Adem Dika Maya. Look, the Nahar Pekod Road being covered with water is such a norm that that's considered to be an Anansahade. What are you going to say, that it's an Anansahade? That a woman who's walking down the street is definitely raped because there's soldiers in town? I mean, come on. That's already, it's not true. It's a chashashahu. We do agree that we could say, even though it's not such a grand migo, but we'd still say mali l'shaker. That's what I think. No comparison at all. Okay, so therefore, according to this, we would believe her on that basis. Now, the Mishnah also says that we could accept any type of aid. I don't care. It could be a kid. It could be a slave. It could be a shivcha, whatever. Now, that implies, I mean, it doesn't say somebody else's shivcha. It implies that, and normally we say shivcha means her own shivcha, right? So that means, like, if she had her private shivcha that was with her all the time, so then we would believe her. Problem is, what do we do with the Mishnah in Gittin, which says that we do not, v'raminu? So here we're talking about a woman who was getting a divorce, and the problem was over here that the husband wanted to make sure that this divorce would be chal. He's ill, and he wants to make sure that she is divorced before he dies. So basically, he sets it up in such a way that he has the divorce ready, and he's giving it, but it isn't going to be chal until later. Okay, so there what happened was that you have to be very careful that she's not alone with him. Because if she is, this is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, but if she is, then the get becomes pasul because it's a get yashan. Remember that we have a gezeira that if someone was alone with the woman that he's supposedly going to divorce, so we have a chashash, we pretend that we have a chashash that maybe it was mevatel the get. The truth is that the problem over there in Gittin really is a gezeira. The get yashan is that we are afraid that in the event, I mean, they're still married. He hasn't given the get. So in the event that he gets her pregnant, then the children that would be born when she already has this get. And the get's date was from before, that was given later. So people will say nasty things about these kids, you know. So, okay, so because of that, we make this gezerah that they'll say Gita Kodim Livna, which wasn't the truth. But anyway, so she needs to have Edim over there. And if she's Bifnei Edim, so then they're not going to sleep together. And there it says, Afilo Alpi Eved Valpi Shivcha, but it specifies, but not her own Shivcha. Her own Shivcha doesn't count. Why? Because a shivcha she's used to having around at all times. I mean, so the shivcha is going to, you know, take her into the bathtub, but the shivcha is going to be there when she has relations with her husband, and she's used to that. It doesn't prevent her in any way from making love in front of a shivcha. The shivcha is just like a robot. People are going to be nervous about making love in front of a robot. I mean, come on. So it's mipnei shelibo gas b'shivchata. So that means that if that's the case, we can't believe this, because if she did, actually, I mean, why aren't we afraid that the shivcha is going to speak up and say that, well, she was alone with her and so on? Because apparently she knows that she can trust the shivcha. She's not going to tell people anything that's going to be to her detriment and it will possibly her get. So you see from here that you cannot trust her shivcha, because her shivcha has profound loyalty to her, or maybe fear, but whatever it is, she's not going to go around saying that her mistress did something that wasn't supposed to be done. Omer of Papa, but that doesn't matter, because here we're talking about, remember, Shivuya. And all of the dinim of Shivuya, remember, we were very makel, because it's considered to be chashasha b'yalma. So because of that, even her own shivcha would be good. So that's why the Mishnah does not specify over here. Rav Papa, who always argues on Rav Papi, I mean, come on, you know, what kind of peh is that? So Rav Papa says, it's not a problem, because ha b'shivcha didah, ha b'shivcha didei. when that Mishnah over there, that's talking about her own Shivcha, where the Shivcha is very loyal, and therefore the Shivcha is not going to say anything. But over here, where we're saying Afilu Shivcha, it doesn't mean her own private one. It means the Shivcha of the husband. The husband's Shivcha is actually ne'emenet to say that her, that his wife wasn't raped. But Eino Chinami, the Shvuya's own private Shivcha would not be good enough. Excuse me? Is that true, says the Gemara of Papa, that what, her own Shivcha would not be believed? Look at the Lashon in the Mishnah. Ein Adam Me'id Al Atzmo. Person's not believed about themselves, so she cannot say that I am Tahora. Now, doesn't that say to you, she can't say this about herself, but anything that's not herself, like her Shivcha, would be okay. So how can you make that distinction? Hakatani Ein Adam Me'id Al Atzmo, Mashma Shivcha Dida is believed. Well, maybe that's the point, is that a Shivcha is kegufa. In other words, it's like just an extension of herself. So when we say the word herself, so that means including her Shivcha. Anyway, the truth is that we could give a different teretz, not Rav Papa's teretz, not Rav Papi's teretz, but we could say like Rav Ashi, that both Mishnayos, the Mishnah Yira and the Mishnah Gittin, are talking about her Shivcha, and it's not a problem. I'll tell you why. The point over there is that a Shivcha doesn't talk. She's discreet. But that doesn't mean that she lies. In other words, so if she, with the Shivcha Michsa Chaza, she sees things and she shuts her mouth. Vishotka. So therefore, in the case over there in Gittin, where by just being quiet, the idea is enough to be mad to her, because if we don't know that she was alone with the husband, so then we're going to assume that the get is good, right? So there the Shivcha is not trusted to tell us. She doesn't tell us anything. She's not trusted by just being there. And that assures us that they weren't intimate with each other. No, because a Shivcha doesn't talk. She's discreet. But over here, where Shtikuta is going to answer her, in other words, if she doesn't say a lie, the Shivcha's got to come in and say, she was not raped. But that we never see as a problem with the Shivcha. Discretion and lies are two different things. So over here, if she doesn't actively testify that this woman was untouched, her mistress, she's not choshed on giving out Eda Sheker. She was just going to be quiet, but that won't help over here. I don't understand. So Ashtanami, I mean, listen, if you're telling me that she is going to be discreet and allow this get to go forward in the Mishnah Gittin, so, I mean, won't she also lie? She'll come into court, Atu Mishakra, no? No, says the Gemara. There's two separate steps. There's a big difference between a person who wants to keep his mouth shut and a person who's going to go into court and say an outright lie. Tarte lo avda. She's not going to take both steps. That on the one hand, she's going to be quiet to allow the halacha to proceed without her interference, and then she'll also go and lie about it. No, that she won't do. And I'll prove it to you that we have exactly a mice like that la halacha. It was a famous story of this guy, Mori Bar Isik. Some say it was Chana Bar Isik. Anyway, he had a kid brother who, when his father moved away, his parents got divorced, the father moved away, and the father had custody of his little brother. And he didn't see his brother for years and years. The father was away in a completely different city, in Beit Chozoy. And the father died, like 20 years later. The little kid brother shows up all of a sudden. Hello, I'm your kid brother. I get half of the estate. Now, obviously, that's very convenient to be a kid brother when you get a couple million bucks, right? So, Atulei Achami Beit Chozoy. And he says, hello, I'm your brother. So Mari says to him, I don't know who the heck you are. How do I know you're my brother? You don't look familiar at all. No yadanalak. So they come. The brother goes, and the little brother goes and sues his Mari, or Chana. He goes and sues him in front of the president of Rav Chisda. So Omar Les Rav Chisda said that, listen, how's he supposed to know you? Understand, you can't sue him. On what basis is he supposed to identify you? It's perfectly natural for a person who had a kid brother who comes back as an adult. We see that in the Torah with the mice of Yosef Ve'achav. Yosef recognizes them. They don't recognize Yosef, right? Vayaker Yosef Ve'achav, ein lo hikiruha, milamit shiatza belo chatimat zakan, ubaba chatimat zakan. So fine, you see your brother over here, you left him when you were a little kid, now you're coming back as this guy with a big mountaineer's beard. How's he supposed to know who you are? You know, you may be Blackbeard the pirate as far as he's concerned. So therefore, he said to them, Omar Lay, Zilai Sisane, go bring witnesses that you're his brother. Omar Lay, so this the kid brother, sister of Chista, I do have witnesses. Truth is, I have witnesses. However, my brother, Murray, is a well-known mafioso, and the witnesses are scared to death to say anything about him. It's all they need to come into town over here, and they'll find their fingers chopped off the next day. They're not going to testify. So, mistafina mine, because he's known to be a gavra alam. He is a dangerous guy, a violent man. So then Rav Chista tells Murray, who is the brother, okay, listen, what you have to do is you go and bring those witnesses and let them say that he's not your brother. Now, does that make sense? I mean, if we're afraid that they're going to say they're not going to talk, so how are they going to talk when he comes in and say that he's not the brother? They would lie, no? This is exactly what our proof is. But anyway, let's finish the story. So Mari says to Christa, what? That's not the din. Even I know enough from just going to Cheder that Hamotzimi Chaviro Olavaraya, you can't make me prove that he's not my brother. Yeah, he's got to prove that he is my brother, no? Omar Lay, Sir Rav Chista says, well, this is the way we treat mafioso. You want to go around being violent? We're violent with you. You go ahead and you be the one that the burden of proof finds. You have to prove it. Now, the question is, of course, the obvious question, what good is this? So Hashtanami, he's going to bring the witnesses. Fine, so the witnesses are still going to be terrified, and they're still going to lie. So what are you gaining? So you see from here clearly that there's two different issues. One is to not say something, which is what the kid brother says. They're scared, and they're not going to say anything. But if Rav Chista says you have to have them come here and say that he's not your brother, because that they wouldn't do unless it were true. So they're not going to actively lie. So you see from there exactly the same thing. The tarte lo avde. There's a difference between shutting up, not giving edus, or actually giving edus sheker. Is the question over here about whether or not we will believe her own shivcha? Is it possible that that's a machlokas tanoim? Because we have a braita that says that zo edut, this edus that we're talking about over here, that a woman was not raped when she was a shvuya, is kosher by anybody at all. Could be an ish, an isha, tinok, a tinoket, could be her own mother, her own father, her own brother, her own sister. Not a child, however. Not her son, not her daughter, and not her eved, and not her shivcha. But there's another braita that says beferish, not like that. It says everybody is believed except her own mouth and her husband. But other than that, we do accept the shivcha, right? So apparently that's the same machlokas. Now look, Rav Papi and Rav Ashi really don't have much of a choice, because Rav Papi and Rav Ashi, they said that we will trust her shivcha to say that her own mistress is okay. So then that means that they are beferish going against the first brisa. They're going to have to say it's a machlokas tanoim, as otherwise the first brisa will be a teyufta. But Rav Papa, who holds that you cannot give edus as her own shivcha, is he forced to say that this is a machlokas tanoim, or is there a way out of it? Maybe the idea is, like we said, that when it says, except for her includes the shivcha. That's how we explained it before. So maybe that's the point over here. That means except for her own mouth, which is extended into her shivcha, right? Or maybe some other answer. I don't know. Omer l'chor of Papa, I have another answer, actually. It's not the same at all. Kitanya hi. What is the bright they're talking about over here? That second bright that seems to be against me? It's a different case. That's talking about a mesiach lefituma. Remember where that shaila before? A mesiach lefituma, like the case. Kiha dechiyata Rivdimi. Rivdimi comes to Babel, and he says, let me tell you something, that Rav Chanan, who came from Kartignaa, which is in Barnea's neighborhood, he was saying that a maisa balif they Rav Yeshua ben Levi, or some actually said what Rav Dimi said was that Rav Yeshua ben Levi was saying to me that maisa balif they Rebbe. But anyway, the maisa was like this, that a guy was saying over this horrible experiences that he had had, that he had been caught by a bunch of SS people, and he was mesiach lefituma, and he says, they got me and my mother, and I was scared to death. I wouldn't leave my mother for a minute. And I mean, I was ready to die to protect her, you know? And we were nishbeinu levenu dekochavim. And I would only leave like for a minute, you know, if there was no one around. I went out to get us a little bit of water. I was keeping my mind entirely on what was going on. I kept looking back. I kept listening to see in case there was anybody screaming or whatever. I went out to get wood to cook up some tea. Da'ati al imi. And I know that they weren't able to touch her. And based on that, Rebbe was matir her. Now, he was just talking about his terrible experiences and what an emotional drain it was on him to feel that his mother was going to be raped at any minute. But he wasn't coming to be matir anybody. But Lamaisa, in the end, maybe years later, it turned out that she was willing to get remarried. I mean, how many people, you know, he wasn't thinking about that. And Rebbe was matir her based on that. So even though normally we're not going to believe the child himself on the mother, but in this case, we were, and he was Masiya Rebbe Lekuhuna Alpiv.